Thank you, Perry. That's very kind. Welcome back and Happy New Year. We are excited about this spring semester. The faculty, staff, all of us have been preparing for this day, to see you back here, ready to go for another semester. It's a joy to have you here. Dr. Stepp, it's a pleasure to have you back on our team. Last June, after the school year had closed and the campus had pretty much shut down for the summer, I decided I needed to get away and recharge my batteries a bit. And the thing that I like to do is ride a motorcycle. So I took off on a very rainy, hot day in Dallas in the middle of June and headed up for a two-week trip through the mountains of northern New Mexico, western Colorado, and eastern Utah. Rode through some of the most beautiful country in God's creation. A few days rode with a friend of mine from Dallas who was up there with his bike. Most of the time just rode by myself. And every morning, I started my mornings the way I start my mornings here. Usually, one of the things that I do after having some coffee is I read the news. I read the New York Times first, and I read the USA Today articles next. And on one day of that ride, I read an article about a study that had just been published, actually a survey from librarians that had just been published about the 88 books that had most influenced America. And they had polled all of these people involved in this across the country and said, what are the 88 books that shaped the United States of America? And I was kind of excited to look at that list. I'm a bit of an avid reader, and I had kind of an idea what I might see there. And I start going through this list and seeing all these titles that I've never heard of. And as I go through the entire list of 88, the Bible is almost not mentioned at all. And somehow I expected from any group that would be at the top of the list. But there was one reference to a picture Bible that had been created in the 1800s for children, the children who couldn't read yet. They'd be able to understand the Bible because it was a Bible of hieroglyphics or pictures. And I've got to tell you, it bothered me. And one of the reasons that I ride a motorcycle is for 6 or 7 or 8 hours a day, or however many hours I'm on it, I have a lot of time to think. You just watch the scenery go by and you drink that in, but in the quiet of the helmet, you are alone with your thoughts. And I found myself for several days in a row just thinking on and on about this survey and how deeply it disturbed me and how I felt it began to tell us something about our culture and even the church in America, that somehow in that list of 88 books, the Bible had almost no place whatsoever. I pulled into Moab, Utah on Sunday night, June the 24th of 2012, and checked into my motel there and had a nice dinner, and I was sitting out on the patio. It was a beautiful evening in the high desert, a full moon, not a cloud in the sky, just a gorgeous night. And I was trying to read this book that I just picked up, and I kept coming back to this article, and I kept coming back to the position of the Bible in our culture and in the church today. And along about midnight, I realized there was just all these things flooding through my head, and I decided I would take a page from your book. I was going to pull an all-nighter. So I hopped on the bike. I found the only place in town that was open all night was Denny's. I found a gas station that was open that had a little pad of paper and a pen, because I hadn't even brought that on this part of the trip. So I go to Denny's, I order my breakfast, and I just start writing. And for about the next 4 hours of that night, there are just thoughts flooding my mind about the importance of God's Word in my life, the importance of God's Word in all of our lives, and somehow I kept coming back to thinking about you, and I find that a lot in my life. When I'm learning new things, I'm thinking about you and whether or not I should share these things with you. And so that night, the early morning hours of June 25th, 2012, I began to write a message to you. A letter to you, if you will, about the importance of studying God's Word. You know, when you look at the history of the printed Word of God in our country and the world, it's really an amazing thing. I pulled up a few statistics since the Gutenberg Press was invented to do what? To print this book. I began to look at how many have been distributed. Of course, we don't have records that go all the way back to the beginning of printing, but all through the 1800s and 1900s, we have pretty clear records, and so I've grabbed just a few of them to share with you. Since the year 1816, the United Bible Societies, which is an international group that distributes Bibles, claims that they have distributed 7 billion Bibles worldwide. Think of that number, 7 billion. The Gideons claim that since 1900, they have distributed 2 billion Bibles worldwide. If you narrow that down just to the U.S., last year, American Bible Society distributed 60 million Bibles, and that's in addition to the tens of millions of other copies of every kind of Bible under the sun. You know, there's the teenage Bible, the high schooler's Bible, the college student's Bible, the motorcyclist Bible. Everybody has a Bible now. It's a great business model. You just change the cover, all the words stay the same, and you sell it for a premium. So you see millions of them. A recent survey found that 92% of Americans own at least one Bible. Think of that. Not anywhere near that number of people claim to believe in God or believe in Jesus or go to church, but 92% of Americans own at least one Bible, and the average household has 3 of them. Now, what do all these statistics mean? What do these statistics tell you about the Bible? Well, for me, as I was thinking about that in the lonely hours at Denny's that night, it told me 2 things. One, the Bible is probably the most published, printed, distributed, sold book in the history of mankind. Again, I don't have a way to absolutely prove that that's true, but there's only 1 or 2 other books in history that have anywhere near the attention. It is probably the single most sold or printed book in the history of the world. What does it tell me? Number 2 is this. The Bible is the single most ignored book in all the world. It is the single least read book. There are more Bibles that have been sold or given to people that have never been read than almost all other books put together. Never have so many books been put into so many hands of so many people with such little regard, respect, or impact. You've been here a while. You know Dallas Christian College takes a very different approach to this issue. One of the verses that we read earlier is a verse that Paul wrote in his second letter to Timothy. Paul was mentoring Timothy, and he writes this in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." You see, those 2 verses right there are very foundational to everything that we do at Dallas Christian College. Let's talk for just a few minutes about the depth and importance of this. First of all, he begins, "All Scripture is God-breathed." Now, when Paul wrote this, we didn't have the Bible put together, these 66 books. The Old Testament existed, so he was talking specifically about the books in the Old Testament. And of course, we believe that when the entire Bible was compiled, that this Scripture applies to the New Testament as well, that every word in here is God-breathed. Well, what's he saying? It's God-breathed, not man-made. What he's saying is that not all books are created equal. Even books that are written by the Bible are not created equal to what the Bible is, to what the Bible says, to what the Bible represents. Now listen, you come to a college, you come to Dallas Christian College for an education, you're going to end up with a lot of books, right? A lot of textbooks for a lot of classes. Matter of fact, what I've asked is my colleagues on the faculty and staff, I asked each one of them today just to bring 3 or 4 textbooks, and I want them to come up right now, and they're just going to pile them on this table, and we're going to take a really brief look at just a fraction of the textbooks that you'll be exposed to while you're a student for 4 years at DCC. Makes you think you need a bigger backpack, doesn't it? Yeah, all of these are free when chapel's over. We're just about done. Thank you, Dr. Snyder. I was hoping, believe it or not, Dr. Snyder has some textbooks. Now, what I thought we might do, thank you, Mr. Worley, what I thought we might do for the rest of the chapel service is I'll just read these to you. How does that, in all of the knowledge that's contained in all of these books, or I'll just pull them out and I'll flip to a page and I'll ask a question. I noticed that the Oxford Dictionary was here. I didn't realize that we had an entire college course where you just had to study that. We've got business books and math books and Shakespeare literature books and accounting books and ministry books and Bible commentaries and computer systems design. And to think, this is just a fraction. You go into our library. Now, I thought about having them bring all of the books of the library up here, but I thought I might run into your lunch hour, and you would probably get a bit frustrated with that. But here's the thing that I've seen and learned about textbooks through the years. Oftentimes, students, you, see if this applies to you, don't really appreciate textbooks. Why do I say that? Well, oftentimes, instead of buying the textbook you need for the course, you borrow it from your roommate or suite mate. And when you get it, you treat it poorly. And when the class is over, what do you do with it? You sell it for cheap. You don't value very much what's in these textbooks. And I'm fearful that that flows over into other parts of our life. Now, as important as all of the knowledge is in all of these books and the 60,000 others that are in the library, at Dallas Christian College, we take a very fundamental, simple position that on top of all of this knowledge is one book that reigns supreme. And I've asked my colleague, Dr. Mark Halen, who has been the chair of the Bible department and faculty member here for over 20 years, to come place one final book on top of this pile. And that book is what, Dr. Halen?
The Bible.
That book is the Bible. I would like you to burn this image into your minds. Take a mental snapshot. This is what Dallas Christian College believes. Everything in this stack is important and good for you to know. But none of it compares in the surpassing greatness to the Word of God. And all of the knowledge that exists in all of those places is subservient to the knowledge we get from this book. And not just that, this book helps us to interpret all of those things. You see, at DCC, the Bible is the key textbook. And it is your textbook for life. One of the passages that was read earlier on the screen was the Word of God is active and living. Well, what does that mean? It means that unlike some of these other textbooks, I've got some old textbooks that I've kept from college many, many years ago. I've got one when I did my MBA that is on computer systems. You know, it's only 20-some years ago, but it might as well be an ancient history book, right? Much of what's in these books fades away. But the Word of God never loses its sense of time. It never goes out of date, and it never quits messing with your life. You know, Paul goes on to say, not only is all Scripture God-breathed, he also says that all Scripture is useful. There's an older translation of that I like better. Some of the translations say, all Scripture is profitable. And I like that one because I think that's a word that we Americans get really quick. All Scripture is profitable. And if all Scripture is profitable, then the DCC Bible major is priceless. This major is the foundation of our curriculum, and we believe it to be the foundation of your life. Now, here's our method. Most of you are aware of it by now. As you go through a 4-year degree program here, we're going to require that you take 30 credit hours of Bible. And our assumption is most of those classes will be 3-hour classes, which means you'll be in the classroom studying that for 3 hours a week. And then our expectation is outside of the classroom, you will spend another 3, 6, or even 9 hours studying what you learned in the classroom. We'll come together every week in chapel, twice a week. And part of it will be a worship time where we all participate, and part of it will be a teaching time. So every week you'll get about an hour of Bible teaching. There will be dorm devotions and small group meetings and church on weekends. Here's what we want. What we want for you is that in your 4 years at DCC, you'll spend about 2,000 hours. Now think of that number. 2,000 hours studying God's Word. Let me tell you something. If you do that, you will be in the great minority in the world, right? Listen, less than 1% of 1% of all of the people in the world will ever have the opportunity that you have right here. Less than 1% of 1%. You know how much church you would need to go to get 2,000 hours? Typical church today, you go on a Sunday morning, you'll get a 20 or 30 minute sermon. It would take you 75 years of going to church. Even if you only spent half the time that we want you to spend in the Bible, it'd take the next 35 years of your life at church, and it would never weave together in the way that it does with our masterful faculty, in understanding how they teach you the Word, in understanding how they take literature and business and psychology and every topic and bring it under the authority of God's Word. What's my point? My point is there is no other way that you will ever get this in your life, and most of the world can't touch it. You know, most of the people in the world in their lifetime will spend less than $100 on the Bible. They'll buy a couple of Bibles. Maybe they'll even sign up for one course. Most people will never do that. I'm going to give you a price tag here. Maybe you've thought about it, and I don't mean to scare you off, but you need to think about it. The Bible major in today's dollars will cost you about $13,000 at Dallas Christian College over the next 4 or 5 years. Have you thought about that price tag? And what you get out of that money that you spend very much depends upon what you will put into it. Paul says that all Scripture is God-breathed and all Scripture is profitable. What for? Then he goes and lists 4 things. He says it's profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and for training in righteousness. Now, what do those 4 words mean? We're not going to spend much time on them, just very, very quickly. For teaching, in other words, the Bible will teach you what to do. As you study God's Word and you go through God's Word and you apply it to your life, it will teach you what to do. Rebuking, what does that mean? Well, the Bible will teach you what not to do. Oftentimes, you'll be reading the Word and you'll see, these are things I need to avoid in my life. Or even more painfully, you'll be reading it and say, oh, I did that, and that was wrong. That was sin. The Bible not only teaches you what to do, it teaches you what not to do. Then it goes on and says the Bible is useful for correcting. Well, that's teaching you what to do after you have done what you were not to do. All right? So it sets a pattern for you. And if you break that pattern, it rebukes you, and then it shows you what to do after that. And finally, it's for training in righteousness. In other words, it will teach you how to live. Teaching you what to do, rebuking you about what not to do, correcting you what to do after you've done what you were not to do, and training in righteousness, teaching you how to live. Why? Why is this important? Why are those 4 things so important in our lives? What answers it right there at the end of verse 17. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The servant of God, who is that? In case you haven't discovered it yet, that's you. It's not just men, it's not just women, it's not just adults, it's not just teenagers, it's not just ministry majors or psychology majors. It's you. It's every one of you. In the kingdom of God, you are called to be, and you are called a servant of God. It's equipping you for every good work. And good works lead to what? Good works lead to a life of influence. If you haven't figured that out yet, we're going to spend a lot of time teaching you that. We want you to be people of influence in the kingdom of God, and that comes from doing good works. What good works? All of them. If you are struggling with what to do about marriage, parenting, serving, the profession that you go into, the profession that you're in, if you want to be better at it, at any of them, if you want to be great at them, study God's Word. You know, many times in my life I have needed help, and the Bible has always pointed me in the right direction, many times. But in my 51 years, I have no good stories of times when I ignored the Bible and a great thing happened to me. None. Nada. Zero. It's never happened in 51 years. Matter of fact, I was thinking about when I was writing this, you know, just to come totally clean on the motorcycle trip so that you don't think it was all about this great spiritual experience I had. I told you that I was driving to Moab, Utah on Sunday, June 24, 2012. Well, the truth of the story is, I was riding to Moab on Sunday morning, June 24th, 2012, and there's this little community I go through on the very west edge of Colorado called Redvale, Colorado. It's just a wide spot in the road. It's smaller than the Four Corners up here at Valley View and Josie Lane. It's just a wide spot, but every time I ride through there, there is this beautiful old white country church. And every time I ride through that town, I think, wow, I would just like to experience what happens in that little, probably 100-year-old church, literally in the middle of nowhere. And I'm riding along on Sunday morning thinking to myself, I'm not sure what time it is, but if church is getting ready to start there, if I see people in the parking lot, I'm just going to pull in and go in my motorcycle gear and kind of be the outsider. But I'm just going to walk in and sit down at the back. And sure enough, right when I'm going by, I'm probably going by a little bit too fast, but I see people getting walking into the church, and I go right by the church, and I'm thinking, I want to get to Moab. I'd really like to see this church. I want to get to Moab, but it'd really be interesting. And I continue for about a mile out there, and I'm having this thing in my mind. What I ought to do is what? I ought to turn around and go to church. I'm not praying about it. I'm just thinking about it. I'm just having the debate that we have with ourselves every day when we debate about the good things in life and the bad things in life, the good things and the best things. And while I'm having this debate, I'm paying no attention to the speed on my motorcycle, which is a common trait of mine. And God intervenes because I get a speeding ticket. I get pulled over. I haven't passed this church. I'm not even a mile past this church. And the Montrose County Sheriff flips its lights on and chases me down. I'm thinking, okay, God, I'm a little slow. I think I get that. Well, the sheriff's deputy comes up, and I thought, well, I'll tell him my story. And, you know, maybe he'll have mercy on me, right? You've asked for mercy. So he says, where are you from? What are you doing? I said, well, I'm from Dallas. I'm the president of Dallas Christian College. We train preachers. And you know, it's the funniest thing you pulled me over because I was just thinking about turning around and going back to that little church. I'm on this motorcycle trip for a few weeks, and I kind of lost time. And I was just thinking about turning around. Maybe I should go back to church. And I said, isn't that the funniest thing? And then in the midst of that you pull me over. And he says, that is really funny. I've not heard that one. And here's your ticket. And right there, you know, right there. Listen, I've got no good stories of times when I ignored the Bible and something great happened in my life. I've got many stories of when I heeded what I had learned in God's Word and great things happened for me. Why do we require the Bible major? 30 hours that you could be studying many other things. Why do we require the Bible major at Dallas Christian College? Let me give you four reasons. I probably have 10, but I'm going to limit it to four. Number one, we believe there is nothing that is more important that you could be spending your time studying than this right here, because we believe it will change your life. It will change how you study everything else. We believe this is the most important thing to study both now and for eternity. Number two, we believe that it was indeed given by God to us to prepare us for every good work that we need to do, as Paul wrote. Number three, listen carefully on this. I mean it with all love. We believe that you may not be wise enough to choose it for yourself. I don't say that in any way to look down upon you. I simply don't think that most of you, if it were an option, most of you wouldn't choose the option because you don't know what you're missing yet. In other words, we believe we know better than you. Number four, we believe in the Bible major, it will change the way you think and how you study every other object. You see, when you commit yourself to put this word into this mind, it changes the way you perceive everything. It will change the way you study English. It will change the way you study psychology. It will change. Just as if you went to law school and spent 3 or 4 years studying the law, if you've spent any time with lawyers, you know they have a particular way of looking at the world. If you went to school to be a mechanical engineer, if you've spent time around engineers who spent all those years studying that one discipline, it changes and impacts how they view the world. The Bible does that more than any other book. People, this will change everything. Everything as you go forward in life. What are some of the other verses in the scripture? We could spend an hour just looking at what the scripture says about itself. One of my favorites, Isaiah 55, 10 and following, God says, "My word, when it goes out from my mouth, will not return empty, but will accomplish what I set it to do." I take great comfort in those words. Every time I preach, I think about those words, that when God's word is spoken, he does his work after that. Jesus in Matthew 4:4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Did you get that? Man shall live by every word. Those words, they're in here. In Matthew 22:29, Jesus says, "You don't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God." You see, you don't have power in your life, in your spiritual life, oftentimes because you don't know the word. For many of you, your parents didn't teach you, your church didn't teach you, your school didn't teach you. Well, guess what? We will. You are here now, and we will teach you these words. For God so loved the world, he didn't send a text message, a tweet, a Facebook update, or a voicemail. He sent his son, and he sent his word that we might know his son. You see, we believe the Bible major will give you a purpose in life. It will establish the pattern for your life. It will change your perspective on life. It will become your power for living. It will shape your philosophy and change your politics. It will advance your professional preparation because this book is alive. How does it work? Well, let me just talk briefly. To whatever degree you're in. Ministry majors, if you're looking at missions or preaching or youth ministry or worship arts, in your classes at DCC, you will learn to teach and preach and write and lead and administrate and lead worship. But that is only half of what you need when you go out from here. The other half of what you need is contained in the content in this book. You will have the opportunity at every turn in your life to plant the concepts and the precepts that are in here into other people's lives. And you will go into a culture that says the spoken word and the written word is not that big of a deal anymore. It's now video and media. And to that I say baloney. My wife and I have been married 30 years. She can send me a note. She could make a video. But sometimes I need her to look me in the eye and say, "Dusty, I love you." And she needs the same. And every person in the world. The video at the beginning of the worship service today talking about the love of God, everybody in the world needs to hear that. That story is encapsulated here, and you need to share it. Business majors, while here you will learn management, marketing, accounting, finance, all of those things, but that doesn't even get you halfway there. The rest of what you need is here. Let me tell you something. If you're a business major, start studying the Proverbs. Early in my career, I was reading the Proverbs every day, one book, one chapter a day, and I learned great secrets of business and success from here. If you want to polish your team leadership skills, spend time in the book of Nehemiah. There is no better book on leadership. That's not just what it was about or what it was for, but I'm telling you, it will impact the way you lead. The Bible will make you an influential business person. I belong to a group of CEOs here in Dallas, It's a CEO mentoring group. We meet once a month and work through business issues together, and we mentor one another in leadership and management and communication skills, just like you. You've got mentors. I've got mentors in my life as well. I've got to be a part of that in the same way that you've got to be a part of it. What's interesting to me, when we get down to dealing with the thorniest business issues that they have around the table, they will share the best of management and leadership theory, but invariably someone, and sometimes it's me, will share a Bible passage that will make all of the difference. Business majors, some of you, after you leave here, want to go get your MBA. May I remind you that Jesus Christ is the master of business administration. Education majors, while you're here, you will learn the content in the field that you want to teach. You'll learn pedagogy. You'll learn classroom management. But that's only half of what you need. If you go into a Christian school, you'll have the chance to take the Bible major and share those things openly. If you go to public schools, you may not be able to do it openly, but the Word of God can never be stopped. It will be in your life and in the public classroom. You will bring spiritual truth into the lives of your students. Psychology majors, while here, you will learn all of the tools of the trade and prepare for a career and prepare for graduate education. But that's not even half of what you need. When you go through the Bible major, you will be able to see into the hearts of those you serve. You will be able to understand the spiritual darkness and desperation that many of the people you serve face. You will be able to guide people in the meaning of life. I could go on and on. It matters not what you're preparing to do. This book will help you to be great at it. Do you realize there are people in the world who have never heard of or seen a Bible? Do you realize there are people in the world who are too poor to buy a Bible? Do you realize there are people in the world that there's no Bible translated into their language? There's people who cannot read, so they can't access the Bible. Do you realize there are people who live in countries where it's illegal to own or read the Word of God? And here you are, nearly drowning in it. Out of 7 billion people that will be on this planet in your lifetime, a few thousand in all the world will have the opportunity to get what you get here in the Bible major. A few thousand. There's only a few hundred colleges in America that even have something that compares to this. You can't get this at University of North Texas. You can't get this at SMU. You can't get it at UTD. You can't get it at UTA. You can't get it at TCU. You can get it here. You know, I like to think that in many ways, you're going to have an unfair advantage in life. You commit yourself to this program of study for the rest of your life. You're going to deal with people who are older than you, who have more experience than you, and somehow just don't have the same wisdom that you've received from this book. Now, I've got to tell you, in my years as a student here, and in my years of working at Kentucky Christian University and my years of being here at DCC, I've heard more than a few times a student say, "Why do I have to take this Bible major? This costs too much. This is taking too much time. And here's the one I love. This is not going to help me get a job." You know what? You may be right. The Bible major may not help you get a job. I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll make you better at any job, at every job, regardless of what you choose. You will have an edge the rest of the world doesn't have. Listen, if you don't want this in your life, you should leave this chapel, go eat lunch, and then make an appointment to transfer to another college. And I'm not kidding. We will be relentless in pursuing you with this. Our curriculum is built upon this. Our faculty and staff have spent their lives studying and preparing. We are going to pour this into you at every turn. Our curriculum is shaped by the Bible. We've been shaped by it. There is no escaping here. Resistance is futile. This is my DCC Bible major manifesto, okay? You must have this. But in the midst of all that, I want you to understand, we don't study the Bible just to study the Bible. We're not just a Bible college. We are a Christian college. We want you to study the Bible, know the Bible, because what? So you can know Jesus Christ. You say that you're a Christian. You say that you want to follow him. But there is one great way to get to know him, and that's by reading his word. Listen, guys, this is not the opportunity in life that you waste. This is not the opportunity that comes along and you say, yeah, maybe later. This is not the opportunity that you say, that's for someone else. This is the opportunity that you grab hold of with everything that you have. And you say, I'm going to squeeze every drop of value out of what's being offered and forced upon me at Dallas Christian College. Tell me this. Would you commit today? I'm asking you. Would you commit today to be a diligent student of God's word? Would you commit today to regularly read this word? Would you commit today to obey it? Would you commit today to love the words that are in here and the God and Savior and Holy Spirit that's behind them? Would you do that? If not, what else are you going to follow? What else compares? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you loved us so much that you sent the words in this book. Lord, I am thankful to live in a country where we have open and easy access to your word. God, I pray that while we are here in this community, you would teach us. You would open our eyes every day and open our hearts.